are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hey, Beth. What's going on? I'm trying to do the 2x speed, and hopefully I don't say something incomprehensible.
this podcast is going to be 30 minutes today because we're going to do everything 2x the speed.
Yes.
We are going to talk fast, but it'll be 3 hours. Just kidding.
It'll be 3 hours worth of talking in 1 hour. And then you'll have to... on the podcast player of some sort, you'll have to set it to 1/3 the speed so that you can have normal speed. Yeah. And then it'll be, but the only problem with that is the episode will be 3 hours long. So maybe you wanted a 3 hours long episode though. Like listeners, I'm sure that you would enjoy it. Actually, if you listen to 3 episodes in a row, that would be 3 hours.
That's so true. So go do that, and I'll see you later. Just kidding. Yeah. What's up, Tim? How's it going in Tim land?
Yeah, so in Tim land, I have an interesting situation that happened to me, and that's I returned some old Spectrum equipment, and it was going to be an uneventful errand, but then that Spectrum person was like, hey, you're not paying the right price that we're at currently. You are in a grandfather price and you're paying more than you need to. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so he offered me two options. I could do the promo for TV, which I didn't want Spectrum TV because I'm already using YouTube TV. And I feel like that would just be a waste if I got Spectrum TV. He said that I could cancel it and then that would lock in the lower price for the internet. But I was kind of shocked by this because I wasn't really feeling like starting something and then canceling it right then. And so his second option ended up being much more appealing, which was to I could get a new phone. And I'm like, well, I didn't want to necessarily get a new phone. That I wanted to use my current phone, switch to Spectrum using my current phone, but then I couldn't do that. And so after we talked about the TV option, I suddenly thought that getting a new phone was pretty appealing. So he showed me one of the new phones, and I just spur of the moment bought the phone. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Luckily, I had already done research on what phone I wanted like a month and a half ago, because I was going to switch to Visible, which is like a subsidiary of Verizon. Instead of my current carrier, Red Pocket, so that I could get better service, and I would have had to get a new phone then. But I was so close to getting the phone, but then I talked to my mom about it and she's like, sleep on it. So I slept on it, decided not to get the new phone. And that's good because Spectrum, I think offered a much better deal for me getting the phone, ultimately. So, I'm paying like $15 a month for the phone, and for Red Pocket, I was paying $25 a month. And they lowered the price of my my internet. Actually, I need to follow up with them about that because I couldn't actually see that on my my internet statement there. But the claim was I'd be paying like $55 a month or so. So like that's $70 a month. I was paying $95 a month before. So that's my phone and internet. So that's just like a stellar deal. That's the promotional pricing though. But I'm still going to be paying a lot less after the promotion is over than I was paying when I was like grandfathered in or whatever at like a bad price or something. So that's pretty wild. So for anybody that has like internet service and they feel like they're being charged way too much, call your internet service provider and be like, hey, I am having problems paying this. Are there any promos available to help me? And you might be surprised to find that there are some promos available to help you. And you might just get a new phone out of the deal. So that was a really interesting prospect that happened to me over the weekend. And then the second thing was I sang in the choir and I had a really lovely time. I hadn't sang in the choir for like months. because I was a little too busy in my personal life, and I was already singing in the praise band. So I thought maybe I'll just take a break from choir. I think I took a break for too long, but now I'm back, and I was just so happy to like be singing with everybody. And Beth was there, and we sang together and had a problem with the prayer song. But we did it. We did the prayer song, and we had the confidence, you know, Holy Spirit being with us. And at the very end of the service, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll go home. But then as I put my robes to the robe area, I saw a bunch of people in the social hall, and then I ended up talking to them. And then I ended up talking to them way too long. I ended up talking to them until like 11:30 or something like that. And that was even going into the 11 o'clock service, because Beth's mom was there, Deb, and we talked, and Owen was there, and I talked with him too. And that was after 11 o'clock. And then before that, I saw all of our wonderful church members, and I just talked, and yeah, it was crazy. So it was really nice. It was such a nice opportunity to be in fellowship, you know, in the friendship hall. Yeah, so that's another thing. And then one last thing is, so I managed to succeed in my endeavor in an unconventional way regarding what I was going to do about mindless scrolling. So instead of it being mindless scrolling, I made it into mindful scrolling. So what that means is if I'm going to scroll, then I need to have an intention behind it. So basically, the way that I've allowed myself to scroll now is I'm only going to scroll if I have the intention of watching full videos or reading full posts, because I think the problem with scrolling is the attention span diminishing that occurs when you do mindless scrolling. Whereas if you have the idea in mind that you're going to like watch full featured content that you're scrolling about, then basically it fixes the attention problem that would occur with mindless scrolling. So I actually scrolled a little bit, watched a whole length video, I think like 10 minutes. And then I scrolled a little bit and watched another video that was like 8 minutes. And then I felt satisfied with the time that I spent. So I just got off of YouTube. And so I think my mission has been accomplished. This is the after Lent endeavor, whereby I apparently skipped the entire time that I was supposed to spend not mindlessly scrolling, and came up with like some sort of cheat code for not having the problem anymore. So that was very lucky. So that is my update.
Thanks for sharing, Tim.
Oh, thank you.
Anytime anyone says content, it makes me think of a Bo Burnham song.
A what?
A Bo Burnham song.
Oh, a Bo Burnham song. Okay.
Yeah. During COVID, he made a whole special about, actually during COVID and when everything shut down, like he like recorded footage for like a year and then released it as a comedy special later. So it's,
wow.
It's pretty cool, but he has a song called Content.
Oh.
He took a break from being a comedian for a while. And yeah, there's just, he starts singing, "Look, I made you some content. Your favorite open wide content." Yeah. And then because COVID, he says it's a beautiful day to stay inside. yeah. So,
that's really interesting. Two things about that. First is like, well, that's musical content. I'm listening to a song called Content, and it's musical content. I don't know. Yeah. Something about that is funny.
But he's also talking about internet content, which happens to be musical content, which is
funny. And then you said the phrase open wide. So then it made me think of Bananas for Bonanza. and the saying about
which is that's content for your ears.
Yeah, saying about the what is it, the something open wide, I can't remember
that he made you your favorite open wide.
Yeah. No, but it's the special welcome thing that he forgets sometimes, and then he shares it at towards the beginning. Yeah, towards the middle of the episode.
Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. Very nice.
I made that into a sticker. I make my own stickers now because I have the ability and it's way too much power. But yeah, it's got all of the like different pride flag and pride colors on it.
That's awesome.
It's got a picture of him as Dalton Wilcox and it says, hello, friend, coming in. The gate is open wide.
I'm doing my part for pride. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yes, it's Pride Month. Woo-hoo. Oh, man, that's great. Woohoo!
Yeah. Anyway.
So what is your update, Beth?
Well, we recorded the podcast on Wednesday night last week. And then I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning finishing my cleaning because I didn't get it done earlier in the week and the week before, like I said I would, because time is meaningless, but also I forget about time and it runs out and then I'm panicking. So yeah,
I know.
Till three, I actually didn't even finish the stuff I wanted to get finished before I went to bed and I was going to try to power through, but apparently, now that I don't have any carpet on any of my floors, I don't like to wear shoes. And so I was barefoot cleaning most of the day. And then at about three in the morning, my feet just started to throb in pain. And I just couldn't continue. So
it was
like, dude, go to bed. So, and then I couldn't sleep very well because my feet wouldn't stop throbbing because they hurt too much. And
oh, wow. Yeah.
And I totally miscalculated the time. I was trying to do math on what time I needed to leave. And I'm like, oh, that just made me, instead of getting there at the same time, I'm going to get there 2 hours after them. And anyway, it ended up being fine. It's not like we needed to be anywhere. So.
Right. Right. Oh, okay.
Got 1 hour of sleep Wednesday night. Thursday, I had to drive 9 hours to Salt Lake City to go get my mom, who my stepdad drove, from South Dakota to Salt Lake City. And it's kind of close. It's
wow. 10 hours
for them and then 9 hours for us. And I invited Jonah to be my co-pilot, you know, just
something. All right.
Keep me company. He likes road trips. We had a good time. So, but I was really worried that because I had 1 hour of sleep, that it was going to be difficult driving. But I usually, listen, I was listening to a podcast, but then I was like, no, I need to put something on that I can sing along to. And once I put on music and I can sing along and I'm good. And have you ever
played
the alphabet game on a road trip?
I've never played the alphabet game.
So this is my version of the alphabet game. You look on signs and billboards and you start with A and then you keep finding the different letters like on the billboards and signs like, oh, there's a B. And then you go through the alphabet and until you get to Z, just looking for the letters that are on the signs. And
Okay. Does license plates count?
Oh yeah, I do the license plates too. I just actually the very last round because it was late or whatever, or we had like 1 hour left or less than that. I was like, I'm gonna only look on license plates this time. That was but I also looked for like the out-of-state license plates. I don't know how many I got, but it looks like a lot. We spent the night in Salt Lake City Thursday night, came back Friday, and my mom's just kind of been hanging out with us. We haven't really been doing much except for, you know, drinking beers and doing crafts and watching TV. But
that sounds pretty fun.
All we want to do. We watched, she's here for Owen's graduation, which will be Wednesday, but
awesome.
My stepdad, the stuff that he likes to watch, he's got like kind of a PG filter in his brain, PG-13 if he's feeling okay. But anything above that, he doesn't like to watch. He doesn't like profane language, or, you know, like lots of, you know, SEX.
Right, right.
So
it's really respectable.
Right. But he doesn't, I mean, he gets a little, it's not that my mom can't watch stuff, but sometimes like she just doesn't watch it around him because she doesn't want him to like complain about all the filth that's coming out of the TV or whatever.
Right, right, for sure.
So I'm taking this opportunity to show her all the stuff that she can't watch at home because she doesn't want Larry to be like, really, you're watching this? And so I've been showing her, I showed her two stand-up comedy specials. Brett Goldstein, do you know? Well, you probably don't know who he is, but
I don't.
He plays Roy Kent on the show Ted Lasso, and he's a favorite. He's like a, he's one of the football players. It's British, so it's actually soccer, but they call it football. Uh-huh. And he's like one of the older ones, so he's like pushing 40, and he should be like, you know, he's not as fast as the young guys anymore. And he's just a grumpy guy who just cares a lot, really. But he's beloved. People love that guy.
Wow.
And then I showed her, I showed her Man on the Inside, which actually is a very wholesome and sweet show with Ted Danson in it.
Oh, cool.
8 episodes. And I showed her Sal Vulcano stand-up comedy. He was, I don't know, one of the Impractical Jokers.
Uh-huh.
He has a stand-up comedy special on HBO Max. So that was pretty good. And now we're watching Hacks, which is also on HBO Max. And it's a, it stars Jean Smart, and she is a comedian who has been around since the 70s, and she has a residency at a fictitious casino called the Palmetto in Las Vegas. And I'm back to my mom, and so we're just having a good time. And my dad gets in tomorrow, and then he leaves Friday. That'll be interesting because my parents are divorced, and they don't get, they've been divorced for 35 years, but they're not often in the same, you know, room at the same time very often.
Right.
It'll be fine, but it'll just be weird. But yeah, that's what's going on over here.
Wow. Wow. What a major update, Beth. That's really exciting. All those different things, like, you know, hanging out with your mom, watching like cool shows and just hanging out and having a good time. Yeah. And then you got to have that road trip with Jonah, and you got to play like card games and stuff. That's really neat, yeah. Honestly.
there's a game that Jonah's been wanting to play. It's not a card game. I thought you said card game. And I was like,
oh, it could be card games. I don't know.
But no, there's a game that Jonah's been like dying to play for like just days and days. We were going to play it last Sunday, but we ran out of time. And then, can we play it today? No, I got to clean. How about today? No, I got to. So I finally took pity on the lad. And I was like, we'll play it on Saturday. So we played it. Did I tell you what it's called? It's called Loaded Questions. And
what is that?
Oh, so basically, it's just a bunch of different cards that have like questions on it. And it's like, just like, if you were a vegetable, what kind would you be? Or just like dumb questions like that. And
wait, you got to ask the question now. So ask me that question that you just asked.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the rub, Tim. I will ask you, but one person asks the question, and then the other people write down the answer, and then whoever asked the question has to guess who wrote which answer.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it wouldn't. What vegetable would you be, and why?
I think I would be. Oh God. It's funny because it sounded okay. I'm just going to say right off the top of my head. I think I would be either a zucchini or a banana.
Oh, well, a banana is a fruit. So you would be a zucchini.
Cross the banana off the list.
I would be a potato because potatoes are delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I said zucchini. I think I actually like zucchini, but I don't even eat zucchini that much. But yep. I guess there's something unique and interesting about it. Maybe zucchini is kind of like flavorless, but you can like make it taste really good or something. And like maybe that describes me in some sort of way. Maybe.
I have like no idea. Things up. I don't know. Just kidding.
Yeah, there you go. I like to spice things up random. I was trying to think about how I like this. Oh, I spice things up with my my update and my my mindless scrolling thing. There you go. That's how I'm like a zucchini. I spiced it up.
You did it.
My scrolling problem. Oh, thank you. But yeah. So speaking of zucchini, unless you had something else unrelated to zucchini that you wanted to share.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, on to the zucchini update. We'd like to spice it up here, PUMC. What?
I have a segue.
What?
Speaking of zucchini, I went to the office today, and this will lead into the updates, but one of the things I said for the updates last week, which you don't know because that podcast hasn't come out yet, was that Saturday, May 31st, there was an opportunity for people to go help plant the church vegetable garden. And I went into the office today and Jeannie was like, oh, do you want to see the vegetable garden?
So
it was take your mom to work day. So I brought my mom to work. It wasn't. I just made that up. and we went to go see the vegetable garden. It looks beautiful.
Oh.
And there's marigolds just planted, like scattered about in the vegetable garden. And I think there's going to be, I didn't look at all the stuff that was going to be in there, but there's tomatoes and carrots and other stuff like that. And once things start growing, the congregation is invited to, you know, take what they want, pick any vegetables that they want, just as long as you're not picking a bunch of them for like canning purposes, because that's just too many vegetables. And it's a community garden, so we want to be able to share it with lots of people. So
that's amazing.
If you ever find yourself near the church office anytime soon, go around the house office building and look at the garden.
I'm definitely going to check out the vegetable garden. Yeah. That is so amazing.
There's also another garden that's actually right next to my office, which is the garage. So, which is Emily's garden that was planted a few years ago in honor of Tracy and Jeff Mogg's daughter, Emily, who had Down syndrome and passed when she was, I want to say she was 8 or 9.
Yeah, yeah. I think I remember that story, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know who told it, but.
I think Tracy did. I think Tracy came on the podcast at one point, didn't she?
Yeah. And she had, what was it? She had the sermon. Did she deliver a testimony kind of sermon. Yeah. Wow.
And
that is so cool.
I love how she said it happened. She said like she was talking to Pastor Jim and before she knew it, she was saying she wanted to share a testimony in front of the church. She's like, what are you doing? Why are you saying these words out loud? And it was a beautiful message. And she's doing a really great job of keeping Emily's legacy alive and well. So
Yeah. I love that. I love that she shared her testimony and we have a garden for Emily and stuff like that. That's amazing. And
and see our multiple gardens. Oh, and you can even see the dwarf plum tree that was planted. So, in updates that haven't happened yet. Friday, June 6th, there will be a memorial service for Dorothy Lathrop. That's at 1 p.m. Sunday, June 8th, we have the Palmdale UM Foundation Scholarship Sunday.
All right.
So that Owen is up for scholarship and we'll be getting up on in front of everybody and talking about his college path and Joseph, Mary's son, and Probably others. I can't remember. So yeah, that'll be fun, and they'll be at both services. So
wow, that's amazing.
That. And also on June 8th, the Summer Kids Club begins, and it's from 2 to 4 p.m. And Miriam and I were planning it a little bit today. We've got pearler beads, we've got card games and car games. No, just card games. We're making galaxy jars where you just put like water and food coloring and, you know, glitter. And so, and you swirl it around and
wow,
the galaxy. Yeah. So, and there, and other things, I'll leave the rest a surprise just cause I can't remember what they are. But
did you say that was Kids Club?
Yes. It'll be our Summer Kids Club.
Right. What date is that again?
Sunday, June 8th.
All right. It's coming up really, really soon. Yay.
It's 6 days from now. Yeah. So, we'll also be having some like fun water game playtime towards the end. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
Kids, it's not too late to sign up unless, you know, this comes out after the June 8th one Kids Club passes, but you can sign up for the other ones. It's not too late unless, right, you know, September and all the kids clubs are done, but, and this comes out then. just kidding, Jessica. Anyway, so do that. I'm not done with the announcements. Saturday, June 21st, Women's Crafting Potluck Brunch will be at 10 a.m. And then Thursday, June 26th, is the senior bus trip to Long Beach Lighthouse, and we'll meet at 9 a.m. And then on Saturday and Sunday, July 26th and 27th, we will have our weekend Yeehaw VBS, Yeehaw-themed VBS. So that'll be fun.
Yeehaw!
I know that I should make a point of grabbing a bulletin before I leave church so I can have the more updated ones. But I know we're having a blood drive coming up in July, I believe.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
That'll be at our church. So just keep an eye out for that. And then as usual, we have our weekly normal schedule. We have online scripture journaling Mondays and Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. You can get the link on the church app. Thursdays at noon, you can also log on to Zoom and find the link on the church app, and you can join prayer with the pastor. And that's, spoilers, it's going to be Pastor Jim.
That's a big spoiler.
Yeah. Monday, we have Food for Thought, which is from...
Wait, Monday or Wednesday? No,
it's Wednesday. I thought it'd be fun to have it on a Monday.
They could have it on a Monday. I'm sure they would have plenty of people show up then, too.
Yeah. Wednesday, we have our Food for Thought, which starts at 6 and gets done at around 7:15.
Okay.
And then Thursdays, we've got choir at 6 o'clock. And Tim's back.
Yeah. Woohoo.
And, yeah.
And Beth was there. So if you want to visit us.
Beth said she was going to be at choir, and then she wasn't, but Tim was there, so at least one of us was there, so that's good. But she showed up on Sunday. Yep, we're talking,
yes,
third, first person now.
Yes, Tim and Beth were there, yeah, on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. Very good.
And then if you play any instruments, I think that there should, or if you sing, I think that Don should include kazoo in his praise band, but there is praise band practice at 7 o'clock. So
right, very nice.
I'm gonna do my kazoo. I'm just gonna stay after choir one day and not say anything and just stand up there with Don and whoever else is there and just play my kazoo.
I think that would be the favorite instrument if they had a Sunday like that.
my friend and I actually performed at an open mic at a Borders bookstore in Rapid City, South Dakota. It's a million now. I don't think Borders bookstores exist anymore, but we played songs on the kazoo.
Amazing.
We did a cover of a song by the Moldy Peaches. It was called Who's Got the Crack? And we just played kazoo. So there weren't any lyrics. It was just like... Yeah, if you were wondering, have I always been this weird? The answer is yes. Yes, I have. So, there you go.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat. Maybe I've gotten, what is it? When you're confident in your weirdness, I'm not sure if you become more weird or just more confident about being weird. And so then more people notice that you're weird. Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, yeah. Or maybe we do get more weird. But weird is such a subjective term anyway that you could just say human beings in general are weird.
Yeah, I just lean into it more, I guess.
Me too.
I'm weird. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm weird and I'm happy, mm-hmm. or I'm confident about my weirdness and I'm happy. Here, let me find some people that are that can be weird with me.
Yeah, we're weird. Get used to it. No.
Yeah.
Very nice. That hasn't made it into the bulletin yet because I just decided it today. On Sunday, June 22nd, anybody who wants to volunteer for VBS can come to an informational meeting in between services in the fireside room. So that's Sunday, June 22nd.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
And I made a sign and it makes me laugh. Since it's Yeehaw themed, I made a sign that looks like a wanted poster and it says wanted, dead or alive. But then I did a cross through the dead part. And then underneath that, it says VBS volunteers.
That's great.
So, yeah. So that's coming up.
Very exciting. Oh, wow. So, do you have any more announcements, Beth?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Okay. Now we have the announcement that comes in the form of Methodist Moment, Methodist Moment. And we have Bethodist. This is the Bethodist Moment.
It's the Bethodist Moment with Bethodist. Okay. So... I've been reading this book. It's called She Did What She Could, Five Words of Jesus That Will Change Your Life. And the author is Elisa Morgan. I'm not sure. And basically the whole theme of the book, it talks about, the whole theme of the book is she did what she could. But each chapter I think is interesting because the first chapter is, it puts emphasis on she did what she could. Oh. And then the second chapter, it's she did what she could. And then the third, she did what she could. I won't go through the whole thing, but
wow.
Okay. It talks about, you know, the story of how Mary basically, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who previously had leprosy. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Mary got out the expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and then she broke it open and poured it over Jesus's head. And a lot of the people were like, why are you wasting such expensive perfume? You know, it could be sold and, you know, make money, and you can give that money to the poor. And then Jesus basically said, like, leave her alone. Why are you criticizing her for doing a good thing for me? And like, you know, there's always going to be poor people among us, but wow. And you can help them when you want to, but you will not always have me. That's Jesus. And that's Mark 14, 3-9, if anyone wants to read that.
But, oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, and the book is really good. I finished up, and it's really a short book. It's not that long. You'd think I'd be finished by now, but I'm not. It's about 110 pages. And so I was on chapter, what was it? Now I can't find it. Oh, chapter 5, which is she did what she could, emphasis on could. And so the first part of the chapter is what Mary did in the Mark, that what did I say, 14:3-9 passage.
Yeah.
What Mary did and what Mary must have been feeling and what other people were thinking. And then I underlined a few things. And one of the things that I underlined was she acted with what she had, the perfume, where she was. That's the whole concept of my altar on the go. I acted with what I had, where I was.
Yeah.
Purchase anything. And then towards the bottom, it says, she acted with what she had. She acted where she was. She acted when it mattered. She did what she could.
Yeah.
And the second half, it tells a little like a real life kind of example of everything. And I'm just going to read that real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very short. She had served as a leader in the nonprofit effort for more than 3 years. Her heart had been twisted this way and that as she slugged her way through challenge after challenge. And her reward was the tangible growth of the staff she led. Of those involved in her ministry, 97% reported that they had grown in their faith. That was satisfying, deeply satisfying. But the troubled economy squeezed hard on the organization. Donations decreased to less than 60% of the budget. Salaries were slashed. After months of trying every other option, she saw the dreaded words, reduction of workforce, on the memo handed down from the board of directors. The memo contained a list with two headings, remaining staff and leading and released staff. She read the names on each, haunted as she saw her own suggestion appearing in one column or the other. As her eyes moved down the names of those to be laid off, she absorbed the reality of one name in particular and swallowed hard. Shannon, hired only a few months ago, the newly married, pregnant young woman had recently been evicted and would need help to land on her feet after yet another setback. She reached for her wallet, grateful that she'd been to the ATM the day before. But as she counted out the cash, she thought twice. It wasn't enough. She considered her own diminished salary and the needs of her own family. Then she reached for her checkbook. She did what she could.
And, wow.
And this is what it says on the next page. And I think this is referring to Mary and not this woman. As a result of her action, she was ridiculed. As a result of her action, she was honored. The relationship resulted in a response. She did what she could.
Wow. Wow. That's really encouraging. And, what was the main reason that you shared that, Beth?
I don't even remember now. I was going to share it last week, but I just remember so many times in my life where I've made small gestures to people just because I couldn't do more. And it always feels like whatever you're giving isn't enough. But even the smallest gesture and just the smallest act of kindness can really turn anybody's day around, because it's not about the quantity. It's about just, you know, helping people and letting them know you see them. And just because I don't have $1 million to give to somebody who's struggling doesn't mean that I can't, you know, take them out to lunch and pay for their lunch. I feel like a lot of times, myself included, feel like, you know, the world is, it's a mess right now. And I think a lot of us feel powerless and feel like we can't do anything. But if we do the little things that eventually add up to like big things because of how it makes other people feel, then I think that's all we can do. We do what we can. I took a, oh, and it also reminded me of this. It was kind of like a, it wasn't really a Bible study, but it was Angie Doyle led a group called Spirit Sisters or something. And she would come to, it was on Thursdays, and she would come every week with like some sort of a devotional or something like that, or some Bible verse that she liked. And she would bring handouts. And one of the things that I take away from that is, like she said, and I think she heard it from someone else, maybe Pastor Jim, I'm not sure, but do what you can, not what you can't. So
yeah, it's
about biting off more than you can chew, or giving more than you can, just because you think it'll make people happy or whatever. Just do what you can without overextending yourself, without, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you ever think that you don't, what you do doesn't matter, or it doesn't make a difference, it does. So
wow.
Do that small gesture. Tell the random lady in the grocery store that you like her purse. Just, the world's hard enough. Let's
yeah.
When your heart feels heavy, we can lighten it up.
Right. Absolutely. That's great.
I won't sing the song. So yeah, that's all I've got.
Yeah.
That's how I'm gonna end it. Just kidding.
Oh, I love that. No, yeah, that was really nice. And that's really like therapeutic for me to hear. And that also is very empowering to think that even like those little gestures that we think are insignificant actually make a huge difference in someone's day or even their life. It might just be like the right timing, or even God's timing for something to occur. So, yeah, it's like, and then, yeah, focusing on what we can do versus what we can't. I think we get kind of distracted by what we can't do all the time. So I think that's a really, what?
Yeah. I can't do the big thing, so I will do nothing.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, so instead we encourage ourselves by all the things we can do, or even think about all the little wins that we've already had. So think about all of that, and then that gives us an opportunity to you know, make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And,
I read something somewhere that said that people won't always remember what you did for them, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just make people feel like they're loved.
Wow.
You know, please just let's love people. We are.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's like an amazing segue to what we're going to be talking about.
Speaking of love, I loved our guest pastor.
Yeah. Seriously.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Pastor Matt Sargent. Yeah. This is, I think, the third time he's preached. I think that's what he said. I happened to approach him at the end of his sermon. I was really happy that I could do that. And honestly, yeah, he did a wonderful job just explaining how we can be the church, like how it's our duty to be the church as believers, those that are full of faith and those who aren't full of faith. Jesus wants us to go forward and do what he did, basically, kind of like Jesus saying to his disciples to help those in need. That's what he wants us to do. And I really love all the things that Pastor Matt shared. But speaking about that, though, we want to, like, our hands and feet, and like we want to be like Jesus in our actions. But just to give a quick summary about the sermon. So Pastor Matt talked about something very intriguing, and that's the idea that getting caught up in our traditions of old can prevent us from being the church that is going to help the world, in that we can get caught up in what we were doing in the past, our interpretations, the rules that we had, and so forth. And it can kind of distract us from what our ultimate goal is, and that's to make the world a better place, to love our neighbor, love God, and all of that. And so I thought it was a very refreshing sermon in general. And Pastor Matt emphasized love, and also it was honestly, I thought it was a love letter to the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Which is so, which is so fascinating, and yeah, it was just a really amazing call to action for us here in the church, and anybody that can work and bring forward love to other people's lives, just like you were alluding to in the Methodist moment there, Beth, doing what we can, and so. Yeah, if you want, I could jump into my takeaways, unless you want to go for it, Beth.
Oh, no, go for it. And then
okay, I'll... so there were some real important things that I thought that stood out to me. The first is how Pastor Matt was saying how God loves us. He doesn't. God loves us no matter who we are, no matter what we're doing. And I thought that was so amazing. I think he really captured it so well. Just to give a real brief like phrasing on that, it's like he loves us whether anything, like even what we were talking about being weird, Beth. He loves us in our weirdness. He loves us in our different ways that we could identify with our sexuality. He loves us whether we have one ethnicity or another, or one tradition or another, a lack of faith or full of faith in any particular like a religious expression. Like God loves us no matter what, and that is so empowering and so validating. And I think that Pastor Matt, at least from my standpoint, I think he mentioned that because maybe people get so caught up in tradition and how they were practicing of old because they're afraid that if they don't practice it a certain way, that God won't love them anymore. That was something that I kind of like put a connection to. I don't think Pastor Matt necessarily said that explicitly, but like basically we don't need to be afraid in like becoming transformed for Jesus and becoming transformed in the church. God will love us no matter what. And so like one thing is that this sermon really spoke so close to home for me as somebody that was completely rejected, like Christianity in general. And I was very skeptical. I even identified as an atheist, and I had all these skeptical arguments. I would like debate with my Christian friends and stuff like that at that time in my life. And I was honestly sure that I was going to be an atheist my entire life. Until I started opening my mind up to God, like when one of my former bosses. And then what was interesting to me was I'm not sure if I shared like all the details here on the podcast, but I think the turning point for me, well, I started going to a non-denominational church for a while, but I always kind of felt like an outsider there. And I think what really helped me was discovering this what's called a new thought author. I guess when you go on Wikipedia, you find somebody that speaks about new thought. It's kind of like a different philosophy. And this was a biblical interpreter named Neville Goddard. He kind of influenced me in a way where it was okay to go into the Bible and interpret it. And even if that meant like not like going about it in a traditional way, like just kind of understanding the Bible in a way that like is appealing and makes sense and is not caught up in like a traditional understanding or like literalness or whatever. And so like that gave me courage, like, okay, I know all these things, reason, you know, talking about the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, like my reason was telling me, oh, God could never love me, or I could not connect with God. But in reality, my reason was able to inform my faith. And so when I went into the Bible, with a fresh set of eyes, and it, like understanding the beauty of the Gospels, then that was able, or I was able to be provided with faith through that experience. And then discovering the Palmdale United Methodist Church was huge. And so now the United Methodist tradition greatly informs my faith. And it's really special to me. And so then, yeah, you have the Wesleyan quadrilateral, right? It's like you have scripture and then you have tradition, like the tradition of old, but the tradition of new, where Palmdale United Methodist Church and United Methodist Church in general is looking at things through new views, like looking at all these different biblical scholars and things like that. And then you have reason, which for me, like my reason, like despite everything, my reason informs my faith. And so I thought it was really refreshing what Pastor Matt was saying about how regarding the ascension, right? How like a modern biblical interpretation was to look at it through kind of like a mythological or theological standpoint and see it as a metaphor for the way in which we can see Jesus changing everything for us. And as believers and telling us to go out into the world and just bring forth the good news. And I definitely think that that is really powerful for me, that my faith really like it's transformed my life. I love God and I love my neighbor and I love myself more because of my faith. And these stories are so special and so beautiful in the Bible, like even though we don't necessarily interpret them literally, like look at Revelation, for example, like many people will interpret that symbolically, but that doesn't like mean that it isn't beautiful and informs our faith and like makes us more connected as Christians. And so then you have just all these like stories. I think that literalness and historical value and so forth can be a distraction. I don't think it has to be a distraction, but people can be distracted by it and they forget that it's the faith and love for God and neighbor that is so powerful and important. And then we kind of touched on it already, but we want to be the church. And I love how Pastor Matt was saying how we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we want to do what is like set forth for us in that regard. So I really related to that personally, like being like Jesus in our actions and our feelings about things and just and enriching our lives. So yeah,
thanks for sharing that, Tim.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I was thinking about being the church, and then it makes me think of that song, "We Are the Church." But you know that expression or that saying, "Be the change you want to see in the world."
Yeah.
I think we should be the church we want to see in the world.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Yes.
Because I get caught up on, I don't really get caught up on, at least not in the Bible so much, taking things literally, because I know we don't have slaves anymore and like
right.
We're not supposed to. Slavery is bad. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's in the Bible that just isn't relevant or applicable today anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Different time. But I also get caught up in the other Christians.
Yes.
Other Christians who are doing it wrong. Owen went to there was a Pride Walk yesterday and they met in Lancaster, and I had a wonderful time at the Pride Walk last year. It was lovely.
Pastor, me too.
Rainbow suit with shorts from the SpongeBob musical, and
I still have my rainbow flag.
Yeah, me too. Owen couldn't go last year because the day before he had his wisdom teeth taken out.
Okay.
And then it was on a Sunday this year, and I didn't realize it was on a Sunday, and I was tired from church. I was at church, you know, from 8 to 1 o'clock basically. So he went, and he and his friend were harassed, and like some guy was yelling at them and like flipped them off, And at one point, he even called the cops and said that a man with long hair and a rainbow shirt, like, punched him or something.
What?
Yeah, but that was false. That didn't happen.
Right. Definitely don't think that happened. Jeez.
So I, you know, made sure he felt safe and all of that. But it just made me really sad that, like, my kid can't even have a nice day, you know, celebrating love for everyone.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons I got off of Facebook, because I can't read those comments anymore where everyone just wants to spew hate instead of love. And they think that they're right. So I'm going to be the church I want to see in the world. Long story long.
Wow.
So
that's amazing, Beth.
Yeah. But the other thing I wanted to say is that Pastor Matt is a whole vibe, and I just think he's, like, hilarious. He was so funny.
Yeah, I know.
Still stumped about the children's time. I saw children's time at both services, and I didn't get to see what the card was first service, because we were in the choir.
Yeah.
We showed the card to the choir, and Pastor Matt tried to do a magic trick and, you know, tried to guess, is this your card? And he did it three times and it wasn't the card. And he was like, well, here's Pastor Jim. And there was Pastor Jim made a video, and Pastor Jim was like, Pastor Matt doesn't know anything about magic. And so he went to this magic shop in Disneyland and asked, like, how can I teach my friend Matt magic? And so the guy pulls out, like, two packs of cards and is, oh, he could do this or he could do this. And then he was like, oh, wait, I have one more thing. And then he goes under the desk and pulls out a giant four of hearts. And, I didn't know whether that was the card or not, because it was never shown to us. So then I was like, I got to get to the bottom of this. So the second service, I watched the kids club and I saw the card, because I was right behind the card, so to speak. And it was a four of hearts. And then at the end of the video, it was a four of hearts. And I was like, how did that happen?
What?
Yeah. Magic. And then don't tell Pastor Jim this. We've been instructed not to tell Pastor Jim, but I think we're safe on the podcast. He doesn't listen to this.
Right.
Pastor Matt talked about how he forgot his belt, and he tried to look for a belt and he couldn't find one, so he used one of the ropes or the robes, and you know how those ropes are long because they hang down at the end, and he said that he was like, I don't need a belt, and then his pants were falling down. Oh, I guess I need a belt. So he took the robe and put it through his pants. And the thing that made me laugh the hardest was he said that since the rope was so long, it went down his pant leg and he tucked it into his sock. That was just so funny to me. And so, yeah, fun. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah.
I really, he had some musings about Pastor Jim. He was like, his eating habits are that of an 18-year-old boy. And he was talking about how they'll be waiting in line and he'll be like, you guys go ahead, I'm going to go get some beignets. And then he brings them back to the line and like, if we all share them and, you know, we'll get them done before the line. And so I just thought that was funny. I got some inside information. I'm just kidding. I don't think you'd be sharing that. But
what I also liked is his communion. When he did communion, at least for the 9 o'clock service, he didn't have. I think it was some sort of note passage that he was supposed to bring along, but he didn't have it. And so then he was going to look in the book, but then he didn't look in the book because I don't know. Maybe he could find it, but then it was on the screen, so he read it off the screen. And I thought it was just really like enjoyable in general. Like he really took it in his stride though, and then he really made it special because at the end he added his own like important pieces after he had read what was on the screen. So I thought that was really cool. Like he just puts a nice touch on everything for sure.
Yeah, I mean Pastor Jim's cool and all, I guess, but if we have to have somebody else because he's on vacation or whatever.
Right. Indeed. So I think Pastor Matt is an excellent stand-in for Pastor Jim when he's out. And I would say that Pastor Jim goes out to Disneyland very frequently. So whenever, oh, I found out that, well, I actually knew this already, but that's where Pastor Jim usually stays with Pastor Matt, Matt Sargent, like during that time with Disneyland.
I tell people that when I'm talking about Pastor Matt or describing him to somebody who might not know who he is. And I'm like, that's where Pastor Jim spends the night when he goes to Disneyland, so he doesn't have to fight the traffic. I think that's shared everything but my sermon feedback, but I did think it was a really good sermon, and it did it's just always a good reminder to, like, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. Like, you do the good. If other, you know,
yes,
Lane, if other people aren't doing that, that's not your problem, you know?
Right, like, right.
You be the church you want to see in the world. That was my big takeaway. And I often forget that because I get caught up in what I think everybody else should be doing. And that's the thing that I tried to, like, drill into my kids at a young age. Like, Owen would, like, tattle on Jonah about something and be like, Jonah's doing this. And it wouldn't even be something that was, like, terrible, and it's something that he could do or whatever. And I'd be like, you know, you need to worry about you. Like, don't worry about what Jonah's doing. Jonah's allowed right. to do that. Like, just, like, stay in your lane. Worry about your what you're doing. You do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And I forget that myself. I'm a hypocrite. No, we all are. But
right. Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like I don't take my own advice a lot of times. It's like, so I give advice to people. It's like, I just, yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, not for me. I meant that for you.
Right.
It's not.
Wow. So. I know. Yeah. And, you know, that's really important, like, to emphasize being the church and, like, loving others and, like, regardless of anything and, like, yeah, regardless of what other people are doing, because, yeah, it can get so distracting, right? Like, other people could just, like, find reasons not to show love. I mean, I just kind of being a little bit overt here, but we're, you know, this is our podcast. The LGBTQIA+ thing really, it makes me sad that people don't, like, put love first, you know? And so that's like a point of conflict in people's minds and people's, like, the way that they practice Christianity, or just, like, there's even a schism in our church. Like, there's the United Methodist Church, and then there's the Global Methodist Church now, mm-hmm. because of that one issue. But then also, like, I think that, you know, as progressive Christians, we put and at Palmdale United Methodist Church, we were inspired by Jesus to love. We put love first, not necessarily, like, judging other people. And, like, the judging other people part, I'm not even sure how people are able to do that, like, justify within themselves, like, their faith to judge when Jesus says not to judge, you know, and, like, he came to save the world, not condemn the world. And so, yeah, being the church for me is, like, showing love no matter what. That's what Jesus said was the most important commandments: love God and love your neighbor. And if Jesus says not to judge others, because you'll have a log in your own eye, and just the speck in your neighbor's eye, then that goes over everything else, I think. So I wish that everybody saw it that way. But
pour that perfume on Jesus's head, you know?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Pour that perfume on his head.
You can, man.
Yeah.
You can.
Absolutely.
But you can't.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think that is the gospel right there. Like, loving others with everything that you have, like we love God with everything that we have. Like when we love our neighbor as ourselves, then, you know, we love ourselves more because we love our neighbor that much. Mm-hmm.
We don't love ourselves more than our neighbor, though. More than we love our neighbor.
Right. It's like a constant, like,
cool, but I'm better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a constant raising the bar kind of thing, right? It's like, oh, I love God this much. Okay. I'm going to love my neighbor this much.
Well, that means I'm... Yeah. Let's make it a competition. No, I'm just kidding. I hate competitions. Let's not do that. But yeah, good sermon. Good guest, Pastor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. There's one last thing I want to mention, and that's I really felt like I was an outsider like for so many years. Even though I really was passionate about Christianity and religion in general when I was like a skeptic or an atheist, I felt like I think I mentioned this on the podcast, if there had been a way for me to be a Christian, I would be the most devout or one of the most devout Christians that there could be. But I just couldn't find that way back when. Right. But God, God is always faithful, and he found me, in the midst of everything. And so that, like, even though I have my reason that would bring me out of what I thought was a way that I was supposed to believe, now, like, I have faith and it's informed by my reason. And I'm just so happy that I could even have that. Like, I never thought it was possible that God would accept me, despite all the things that I believed back then. Mm-hmm. Like that I could find a Christian body that would accept me, despite all of my questions and all of like ways of thinking that are like too reason based, like, why are you questioning this? Why are you questioning that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't find my way in any of those groups. And so I just feel so, like, I honestly feel blessed that I could find the United Methodist Church and I could, like, relate to God and connect with God, have a relationship with God. That's informed by, like, my experience, like, you know, going back to the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, like, my reason and my experience of God. And, like, I feel like God just, like, has transformed my life. And it's just such an incredible thing. And I never would have, yeah, actually, this is a good point for me to bring up, something from, John Wesley. In that sermon that I keep bringing up over and over, the scripture way of salvation, just a brief thing here. He says, faith in general is defined by the apostle. And he goes on to say, an evidence, a divine evidence and conviction. The word means both of things not seen, not visible, not perceivable, either by sight or by any other of the external senses. It implies both a supernatural evidence of God and of the things of God, a kind of spiritual light exhibited to the soul, and a supernatural sight or perception thereof. Accordingly, the scripture speaks of God's giving sometimes light, sometimes a power of discerning it. So, yeah, you know, it's just, that's how I feel now with my faith. It's like I've been like provided like a supernatural evidence of God, like a spiritual light exhibited to my soul. Like, I'm just transformed by God, and I'll never be the same, you know, like a child of God. We're all children of God.
We are. That's awesome, Tim.
Oh, thank you.
We're glad to have you at the Methodist Church.
Oh, thank you so much. any last thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I was thinking about a commercial, but then I was like, no.
Oh. Yeah, so I guess the last thing is we just put love first, and I think we're doing it the right way. God loves us. You know, God loves us no matter what. And that's so beautiful.
It is. Love is all we need.
Yeah, love is all we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can leave it at that. That's awesome. And there you go. You have the equation that solved the world's problems yet again.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Any prayer requests, Tim?
Let's see. I think I could use a prayer for now that I fixed the impediment to my being able to read more. I actually feel like I fixed it. I think definitely with God's help, and then just like I don't know, being I was just fortunate, really. I feel fortunate. So now I really can do the second step, which is to read more books. So doing like what is this after Lent? No, this is actually Lent. Having been late in doing my original Lent opportunity, switching my Lent opportunity to the scrolling thing, and then like doing it after Lent. Now I guess I'm going back to my original Lent idea, which was to read more. So a prayer for me to go forward with my reading endeavor. I actually do have like an informal commitment to one of my coworkers. He keeps telling me to read this book called Project Hail Mary.
And, oh, yeah, read it.
Yeah. I mentioned it on the podcast before. Oh, gosh. And what's so cool is it's good that I waited so long to read the book, because Audible had an 85% off sale, which is so wild. Because I was able to get Project Hail Mary for like $3.50.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I didn't even have to use an Audible credit, and I got it really inexpensive. So now I have no reason not to listen to it, because Beth, you told me, and my coworker told me to listen to it. I have to listen to it.
It's and you'll know what we mean after you start listening to it. Like, I don't even, some people in the book club that I'm in read it, and I just feel like they didn't get as like immersive of an experience.
Wow. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read that book, and then, going to try to read some other books. Oh, that ADHD book I mentioned, ADHD 2.0. Mm-hmm. And I think I will actually go ahead and proceed on the Mirror Visitor Quartet, which starts with the A Winner's Promise. I think I will just go ahead and start reading the second book, because I know the author's style. I know the characters, and I know what's going on in the story. And there's like a really nice like summary of the first book in the second book, which is really nice. So I could have forgotten
books.
What?
They do that in the Harry Potter books, and every book I've read really that has it drives me crazy sometimes if I'm reading a book like right after I finish the first one, and I'm like, yeah, I know, I already know all this stuff, but you know, but if I haven't read the first book in a while or whatever, I appreciate it. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like the, what is it? Spark Notes or Cliff Notes of the previous book included in the next book.
You know what you could do? You could just like read, like if it's a multi-book series, you could just read the summaries at the beginning of each of the books. So you don't have to read the whole book except for probably the last one. They're just a summary for the last one.
I've done that with movies where I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on like in this movie potentially, because I didn't see the previous ones. What happened? And then there's some like generous like article writer that's like, oh, just in case you didn't read or watch these this content, here you go, this is what happened, refresh or fill you in if you hadn't experienced it before.
Yeah,
I did that with Planet of the Apes, I think. I watched one of the Planet of the Apes movies when it was in the theater. And it was really good. I can't remember what it was now, which one it was, but I found out that the old Planet of the Apes is actually in the timeline. It proceeded after the movie that I was going to see. So the movie that I ended up seeing was a prequel to the super or much older movie, Planet of the Apes. So, yeah, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't read that article. So for anybody that sees a sequel of something or reads a sequel to something, if you feel like you're in that position, just go ahead and spoil it for yourself, because you're going to already spoil it for yourself by watching the sequel anyway. You might as well just spoil all the rest of the content.
Yeah, just spoil your dinner while you're at it too. By you.
Spoil everything. Spoil your dinner.
I have to say that legally as a mom. Just kidding. It's in the contract that I signed. No, not really.
Yeah, so that's so that's my prayer request to get going on my book reading.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can do that for you. My prayer request is my dad and my stepmom will be traveling tomorrow by plane to be here for Owen's graduation.
Wow.
And so prayers that they have safe travels. And also another prayer for Pride Month.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned it.
So a prayer that, like, the people who are marginalized and who celebrate Pride Month because of all of the hate that's in the world, really, just prayers that they can have a safe and, like, happy month where they can still celebrate that they exist and they deserve to be here too.
Yeah. And
hopefully, just prayers that, I know there's going to be all the hate, but just prayers that they don't, you know, that they can still stand strong and, you know, still know that they matter and that they do have allies and people who are on their side and think that they're, you know, worthy of being here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. I'm really glad that you said that, Beth. Yeah. It's like, we want their experience to be heard and respected, like fully respected, like as human beings, like lovable. And just like, we're really happy that they're here to just like, you know, just like any one of us, right? Mm-hmm. Worthy of love, children of God. Yeah. So yeah, I totally like, I think they definitely need a prayer, out there. Yeah. I hope maybe we could be the church and help them feel more welcome too, mm-hmm. this month. So
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah. Oh, and prayers for all the seniors graduating. I know some of them already did, but, prayers that all of them can, you know, get up and get their diplomas without, you know, tripping and falling on their faces.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That would be wonderful. Yeah, for sure. Prayers for all of them. And yeah, you know, Joseph and, Owen and Joseph, you're both going to be graduating. That's so wonderful.
Joseph graduated on Friday. So
he already graduated.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So Owen needs a prayer. So, what is it? Joseph, it's a belated prayer for Joseph.
A belated prayer. I'm sure
I think he's probably still in the thick of it emotionally and everything.
Probably.
So,
yeah.
So it, yeah. Yeah. I know that's a big, really important time for everybody that's graduating. And so then they kind of like figuring out their life and stuff like that afterwards. Like, that's kind of like, suddenly it's like a complete shift in your life, Beth. Just like getting mm-hmm. pregnant and you have a baby is a complete shift. That's what happens when you go to school and you're like going to school your entire life. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, you're done with school. Are you going to go to more school? Are you going to start working and then go to more school? Are you just going to start working? Like, they just suddenly have this like completely new chapter. Like, it totally changes everything in a person's life. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, as a working adult for me, like, I still think back to those times when I was in school and I'm like, wow, you know, it's like a totally different life. You know, you go to school and you see all of your like peers and stuff like that. And you just like see them all the time in classes. It's like, oh, what class are you taking? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then all that ends when you graduate. I mean, whoa. Yeah. So
it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so yeah, I think that's all we have for today. But we have another episode for you all. So continue to stay tuned.
To stay mad, you Methodists.
Stay mad, you Methodists. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness.